Martindale.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bless you. Please be seated. Thank you very much. Naked of spirit, I was a woman destitute of ability to compete. I was blind to the challenge and oblivious of the enemy until I took the Power for Abundant Living series by Dr. Victor Paul Werwell. For his contribution to the Word of God in my life, I owe my life. And special thanks to the Board of Trustees for the opportunity to share God's Word with you this afternoon. Our teaching today, the Walk of Youth, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 12, we read, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Timothy is a pastoral epistle written by Paul, authored by God. Timothy, at the time of this writing, was a youth. In the Bible, a young person is referred to as a youth until they reach 30 years of age. Let no man despise thy youth. Let no man, allow no one, no Christian, no non-Christian, no believer, no unbeliever, no male, no female, husband, wife, friend, neighbor, allow no one, no man to despise thy youth. That word despise is to think disparagingly of, to think derogatorily of. So we're to allow no one to despise our youth. And in contrast to that, that word but is in contrast, be thou an example of the believers. Be. Those two little letters, be, are very detailed in the Word of God. It means to become or to come into a particular state or condition. This then expresses a growing process, a state of not having fully arrived, but of becoming or in the process of arriving. This expresses a growing process. I vividly think about my son, Timothy Craig, and we're out on the patio together, little, I don't know, 8x8 patio, cement patio, two steps, about 10 inches high each. Most human beings can just step up them. Little mat in front of the step to wipe your feet, little pool from Kmart special, $4 special. And little lawn chair for mommy to sit in the sun. And there's a little hose that's kind of goes into the pool. And little Timmy is got his little diaper on. That's about it. And mommy and Timmy are outside trying to teach Timmy how to get in the pool and walk. Timmy's, oh, year and a half old. Our son, Reverend Martindale and myself. Most people, when they walk, they go like this. And they walk. And it's pretty simple. But the growing process of a child is almost like the growing process of a youth in the Word. Timmy, he walks. The second he touches the hose with his foot, instantly it's wobble and boom, right down on his rear end, the little pad of the diaper falls on the cement. Mom goes over and picks him up. And I get him going again, get his balance, and Timmy walks some more, and he goes to that little 10-inch step trying to get up. And instantly upon trying to get up, boom, down he goes again. The growing process of a child. And I would say we spent a good hour outside, and probably in that 1 hour of being together and my son learning to walk, he must have fallen 40 times. And I think about the walk of youth, how it's a growing process. We are to be an example. And that word be, those two letters imply a growing process. The word example is the word tupos. And that word means anything produced by repeated blows. Tupos. That example is anything produced by repeated blows. Hence, a mark or impression is made by a hard substance on one of softer material, a model or a pattern. I think about my years growing up. I took a typing course in high school. And when I first put my keys on what they call the home keys, my hands on the home keys, and tried to type my name, D-O-N-N-A. I can still see it in my mind. D-O-N-N-A. Spells Donna. And when that letter D, when I pressed on that key, up came the little thing that had D on it, and bam, it smashed the paper. And the print of the D on the key smashed on the paper, and the paper was softer than the key, and bam, there was the letter D. Then I pressed O, O. Then I pressed N, except I missed, and it went M, and I got a D-O-M, DOMA. But the point is, the harder object impressed on the softer object, and that is example. It's a tupos, a type. I think again of my son. Maybe he is my obvious example, living with him and growing day by day. But how every morning when I go to get him out of his little crib, when I first would get him out when he was first born, between birth and 6 months, I'd flip the light on, or it was really light outside, but flip the light on and go to take him to change his little diapers, and I would always point to the light, the chandelier light, and say, light, light, and he would just look at it. And then as time went by, pretty soon he'd do this. He'd just point, and my mommy would say, light, light, and every time we'd go in there and I'd flip on the light, light, light. Now today, my son, when I point to the light, actually, I don't even point to the light. I walk in the room. That's what he does. And I thought about how that is an example. It's a harder material blowing on a softer. It's words and actions on the mind of that little boy. In February of 1972, Dr. Werwell came to California to teach the advanced class on Power for Abundant Living live. I took that class, and also Dr. Werwell lived at the Way of California home there where I was working as the LIM secretary. And between Dr. Werwell teaching the word in the night sessions and my watching his life, how he counseled people and loved people, and took personal, intimate time one-on-one with individuals and reproved and corrected where it was necessary and sat with us and ate with us and did different things of this nature, I wanted to be and have what he had in his life. His life was a tupos, an example. His life impressed upon mine. And as a result of that, I went core and staff and every other kind of thing I could get my hands on because of the Word of God. What are we to be an example in? What are we to be an example in? In our ministry, in this verse, we've done a literal according to usage, and a literal according to usage of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no one think disparagingly of your youthfulness, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in the love of God, in believing, and in pure, uncontaminated leadership. And in the study, in the Bible Tells Me So, the walk of youth, Dr. Werwell wrote, Christian young people are to become believers' examples or types in six ways: in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. The preposition in is the same for each word and expresses an innermost depth, an inner quietness or self-reliance. Youths are to become within, in the innermost part of their being, an example of quietness and serenity due to the words dwelling in them. Due to the words dwelling in them. This is not surprising, for it is God's word which gives youth the knowledge they need regarding every phase of their life. It is the word which God set above his name. This afternoon, I want to focus on the first of the six different ways a youth is to be an example. That's in word. Dr. Werwell stated in this study, youths are to become within the innermost part of their being an example of quietness and serenity due to the word dwelling in them. Right here in the context of 1 Timothy 12, we'll read on and see how Paul wrote Timothy, who was a youth, and told him how to become that believer's example. Paul writes in verse 13, "Till I, Paul, come, give attendance to what? Reading. Give attendance to reading." Well, what was Timothy to read? Was he to read Sports Illustrated every minute of every day? Nothing wrong with Sports Illustrated, but was that what he was supposed to mold or be a tupos after, what Sports Illustrated had to say, or Life, or Reader's Digest, or Time, or the newspaper, or novels, or space stories? Is that what Timothy was to read? No. But he was to read something. Give attendance, pay attention to reading, the reading of the epistles being circulated at that time. That's what he's supposed to read. Also, he's to give attendance or pay attention to exhortation. Talk the word to one another. Exhort each other. And pay attention to doctrine, right believing. Verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. That's very interesting to me, because that says Timothy had a gift ministry. Timothy was under 30 years of age and he had a ministry already. How God, Craig said a minute ago, we need people with ability and talents. We need in our ministry today people who want to serve and be broken bread for God's people. Timothy had a ministry and God told him, don't neglect that ministry. God wouldn't bother to tell Timothy not to neglect the ministry if he wouldn't neglect it. That must mean there are times in men and women's lives where they neglect a ministry that God has put in their soul for the church. Verse 15, meditate. Meditate means, No. Meditate means get possessed. No. God forbid. Meditate means think by your freedom of will. Mull it over. Roll it around in your mind. Think. Meditate upon these things. Meditate upon what? Upon the word. If you want to be a tupos, a type of a believer's example, you got to meditate upon the word. Pay attention to the word. Here's Paul saying it over and over. The word, the word, the word, the word. You want to be a great example, Timothy? The word. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. That thy profiting may appear to who? All. That thy profiting may appear to all. Before we can have our profit appear to all, one of the things we have to do is have something to show profit. And the word of God will cause profit in our lives. Verse 16, again, take heed unto thyself. Take heed, meditate, give thyself wholly. Give attendance. I mean, sounds to me like Paul, who's the writer, God, who's the author, is jumping up and down saying to Timothy, Timothy, Pay attention to the word. Pay attention to the word. Pay attention to what I've given you. Pay attention! Like Timmy, fall down 40 times. I mean, pay attention. Up, son, down. Up, son, down. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. After he says all that, he says, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save who? Thyself and them that hear thee. Psalm 119. It's the middle of your Bible. Psalm 119. We're looking at how to be the believer's example, the walk of youth. Psalm 119, verse 9. We read, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How shall I cleanse my way, Lord? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? This is how it is. Well, son, this is it. Everybody listen. This is how you do it if you want to get cleaned up, by taking heed thereto according to what? Thy word. Now, my observation of God and his word is that God knows that we're not stupid, and yet he knows, he must know we need things repeated or something. I mean, all over the whole word of God, he says, give attendance to the word, take heed to the word, pay attention, let it dwell within you, meditate upon it. The word of God has to be at the forefront of our lives as youth if we want to walk forth and manifest great power. So this great verse, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. I think about my own life in 1972 when I first took Power for Abundant Living. I took it in May of 72. Then I had a wonderful young man who was involved in the Twig come to me and say, gee, Donna, there's a camp that's happening, and it's happening in 2 weeks. Do you want to go? And they're going to teach Christian Family the first week and Renewed Mind the second week. Would you like to come? Well, I was so turned on by Power for Abundant Living, I thought, if there's more stuff like this somewhere and I'm going to hear more things that are going to change my life, I want to go. So then I went to Christian Family and Sex Camp and Renewed Mind Camp. And the word of God, again, was spoken. I attended to the word. Then in September of that year, I also spoke in tongues in a little, spoke in tongues and interpreted in a little believers meeting. They led me into tongues with interpretation and prophecy. And then I took the class, the intermediate class, and learned all the word, attended to that word in my life in that category. Then in February of 1973, 6 months or so later, I took the advanced class that I spoke about earlier that Dr. Werwell shared live with us. I was 19 years old, and the Word of God was a tupos to my heart and mind. The Word of God made an impress on my life. The Word changed my life as a youth and continues to do so. But the interesting thing in thinking it all through to share with you this afternoon is that I had a lot of word. I went where the word was shared. Like I think about all our wonderful people here coming in for the Athletes of the Spirit production, where the word is shared. That word is guaranteed to make an impress on our hearts and minds. Look, I think about things like communism. I talk about my little son and how I'm trying to teach him how to walk, and he falls down and I pick him up. Or I think about little flowers sometimes. We have a policy in my house that the plant area, like this kind of thing, the plants in our house, there's a little area where there's plants. Timmy doesn't play with plants. How does Timmy know that? Because I tell him no playing with plants. And I go show him the hutch that I totally cleared out of all my pretty napkins and placemats to put his toys. So here's this hutch that's on his level. This is where you go. You can't go here. So that's the doctrine. That's the first impress. Then, as children are, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, the Bible tells me, he comes over here and looks up at me and goes, just like this. And I walk over and I say, Timmy, no. And I spank his hand. I mean, I beat the kid to death. No. One spank, and I take him over, and I bring him back to the hutch. It's reproof and correction. This is what you can't. This is what you can. And I think about how over and over I do that, and how the Word of God in our lives is so much like that. Over and over, God tells us how much He loves us, how we're more than conquerors, how He desires for us to be His children, how He'll meet and supply our every need, how in every situation we have all that we need. And yet over and over and over, we still want to touch the plant. Jeez, Louise. Send me a bill, Floral. For you on the phone hookup, I just ruined the plant. But I think of children from communist countries, how they are raised in a doctrine. They are raised with a lifestyle, and it's spoken words that impress their hearts and minds, that make them what they are as they grow older, and get them to believe what they believe, that communism is the only right thing. It's the same thing with our young people. It's the same thing with us adults. We don't have any excuse. God's word works for everybody. Some of us are youth spiritually. We could be 60, 65 years old physically, but we're a youth spiritually. This word of God impressed over and over and over in our minds must bring results in our lives. Proverbs chapter 4. Over one book. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, Proverbs, by the way, is written to young people. My son, attend to my what? There's God again blasting it out at us. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them. They're literally life to anyone who reads them, and health to all their flesh. This word of God is so powerful, so strong. It is literally gives us length of days. It gives us health, long life health from this word of God. That's better than taking pills. It is. The word of God literally brings us health and life. Dr. Rural stated in the Power for Abundant Living class, if for the next 3 months you give your life primarily to reading and studying the epistles that are addressed to you, and then apply the principles by renewing your mind, 3 months from now, you won't know yourself. You will be such a dynamic person. He stated that in Power for Abundant Living. And again, he stated the Word of God. If you'll read the Word of God, you won't know yourself in 3 months. Why don't we have the boldness, the guts to throw away all our other things and pull out this Word of God and make this the foundation of our lives, what we read and breathe and do every day of our lives? I think some of us are committed to that. Proverbs chapter 3. Back a bit. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my what? Oh, come on, God, this is getting boring. I mean, really, every other word. Forget not, attend, look at, read. My son, forget not my law or my word, but let thine heart keep my word for length of days and long life and what? Peace. Ever lack peace in your life? I have at times. And boy, I just take a mental check from the neck up and say, hey, Martindale, what have you been doing? Have you been in that Word of God? And usually I lack peace because I lack the Word. And I go back to this Word, and this Word gives me peace. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of man. Sight of God, right on. Trust, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, I'd like to ask you something. How can you trust someone that you don't know? I vividly recall when I had my first child 7 years ago, the doctor that I had gone to through my whole pregnancy checked me out 2 hours, said, "You're wonderful, see you in 6 weeks, Donna." And I went to home, and an hour later, I was in labor. Of course, I didn't know I was in labor because I didn't know what labor was. But Reverend and Mrs. Moynihan, Reverend and Mrs. Wren were with us. Craig and I, we were on our way to an Earth, Wind, and Fire concert in Kansas City. But there I was in the front seat of the car driving, and I was kind of... And they're all chatting, you know, and all I can... inside, things are going on, and I'm not sure what's happening. Well, I had asked Craig to be sure to get gas in the car before we left because it was right after lunch and we had to be in a hurry. Well, Reverend Martindale didn't put gas in the car. So we had to stop in Lebo, Kansas to get gas. Praise God he didn't, because I got out of the car and called up my doctor. Of course, he wasn't there. He was at a swim meet with his son, and he wouldn't be back in town all day. So they told me I could talk to his associate. So his associate said, "You better come back home." So we came back home, went and saw this doctor who I'd never met. "How do you do, Dr. Snowbarger? Nice to see you." Checked me and said, "Lady, you better go to the hospital. You're going to have a baby." So there I am, meet this man, and all of a sudden I'm going to have a baby with this person I've never met. I tell Craig, "I don't want to go there. I want to go home." So I go home, and I stay there, and we get Pat Saunders in, who's an RN staff member. She watches over me. Finally, at the last minute, Craig says, "Honey, I think we better go." Totally walk with God. We got in there, and about an hour later, I have this baby. But the interesting thing is, the baby comes whether you have a doctor you know or not. But the interesting thing to me is that this doctor, I was in this room I'd never been in before. I'd never had a baby class. I'd never had anything. And this doctor's telling me to do this and do that. And I'm sitting there the whole time in my mind thinking, "Why should I do this? Why do I have to do that? Why do you have to give me this? Why do you have to do that?" I was fighting the whole time. I did not trust that doctor. I did not trust that doctor with my body or my life or my child no more than anything than the man on the moon. I wanted to get out of there. I had no choice. My second child, I have two children. My second child, we lived here at Way International. It was available to go to Dr. Carolyn Rollins, who's an advanced class graduate. Well, it was really interesting. I'd go there for my checkups and spend the day, and we'd talk about the word all day, and then we'd go, I'd get examined by her, and she'd tell me how I was doing, listen to the baby's heartbeat. It was a love affair from the moment we started. It was a trust affair. I went and spent a few days at her home before I had my baby. I watched how she lived. I watched how she took care of people. And in the middle of the night when people called and said they needed help because they thought they were going to have their baby, she got up in the middle of the night and helped them. Whether it was 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, it made no difference. And I knew her. I knew her because I saw how she lived. I trusted her. And it was really interesting when I went into labor for the second time in my whole big life and had our son. I had our second baby in about 3 hours from start to finish. And Dr. Rollins was there and said, "Come on, we got to go to the hospital." So I go to the hospital. I go to this birthing room. I've been in that birthing room. She took me to the birthing room. I know this person who's at the other down at the other end of the bed. This person says, "Donna, I want you to do this." And I knew she told me to do this because it was right, and I trusted her because I knew her. I knew her. I trusted her. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the same with God and His Word. How can you trust your life? How can I trust my life to a God that I do not know? How can I give everything I have, my finances, my children, my husband, my home, everything that I am or everything that I hope to be when I do not know my God? I'm sorry, I will not and I cannot do it. That's why in God's Word, He says to us, read. The only way we're ever going to know God is to know His Word. His Word is His heart. It's His will. It's His life, His desire for us, His people. It's everything that we ever hope to be. It's in God's Word, and if we're ever going to know God, we've got to go back to His Word.
His word is his heart for us, his people. And this is what Dr. Worrell taught us. This is what Dr. Worrell gave his life for. Power for abundant living. I was naked without spirit. I did not know how to compete against the enemy. Totally naked of spiritual matters. Led around by the nose by Roman Catholicism. And never one time did they go to the Word of God to show me God's heart for my life. In the 18 years I lived without Almighty God and His Word. That's the greatness of our ministry, the Word of God. We bring our people to the Word. Dr. Worrell took me to the Word in power for abundant living so I could prove it to myself, so I could stand up here tonight and share my heart with you because I believe the Word of God's the will of God. Not because some man said it, but because I believe it in the depth of my heart and I read it line by line, word by word for myself. That's the greatness of our ministry. It's word over the world. When Randall Misak stood here and talked about PFAL and Chinese, man, I sat in the over there and cried, thinking about all those people who are going to hear the word of God because Dr. Worrell dared to stand on that word. And old Randall Misak, bless his heart, did the same thing along with all the rest of us standing here together. We may be in New Knoxville, Ohio. We may be in a little podunk community. The world may not recognize it, but God Almighty does, and we're in the heart of His heart. And that's our ministry, boy. We should never forget it, the Word of God. Okay, fired up here. Verse 5. Whew, that's the end of that sermon. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the God that you know, and God tells us how to know Him. He tells us all over. Read about me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways do what? Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Don't be like anyone else. Just be like the Word. Become a believer's example because of your attending to the Word. That's some of the walk of youth. Father, thank you for this great night. Thank you, Father, for your heart of love and how this ministry is based on your word and your will. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you, we can love you. Thank you, Father, that as a household we're committed together, shoulder and shoulder and heart with you. And Father, for our wonderful board of trustees this night, continue to bless, protect, and guide them. Father, for every member on the wonderful tree of life, may we attend to your word and go grow closer to you each day, Lord. Thank you that we're standing on solid ground, that we know you and trust you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you.